Hi, everybody, and welcome to Blind Level Tech. I am your host, Evan Starnes. And how in the world are we already almost halfway through the month of January 2026? Don't know. Time seems to be just going at an alarming rate, and I'm just doing the best I can to keep up with it. Now, I'm sure everybody realized for at least a couple of weeks that about 3 or 4 months of BLT episodes just disappeared and went missing. And there is an explanation as to why that occurred. And honestly, that whole kerfuffle led to a very unplanned but also very necessary hiatus for BLT. And it gave me a lot of time to reflect on the show and if I want to make any sort of changes and or revisions, and how I can just do better with this product. Not that I think it's a bad product, but personally, I realized, especially at the end of 2025, that I was quite burnt out with this show. And I was not thrilled with the product that I was putting out. I'm sure people were enjoying it, but I wasn't enjoying making it, and that really negatively affected this podcast. And starting this year, we're not really going to do too much as far as changes go. And it kind of that goes back to a conversation that I was actually having with our production team last week about growing and changing and adding new innovations just organization-wide for AfterSight. And the concept of not every year needs to be a growth year. Some years you could just have a stabilization year, as I call it. And that is what's going to happen this year for BLT. So we're not really going to add anything. I'm still going to continue hosting the show. And the feel and flow is going to stay generally the same, and hopefully get a lot more consistent and less, at least in my mind, less all over the place. But that is just due to me and the way my brain's wired. And really the important thing for me was just keeping what we have and revising what needs to be revised and just continuing to nail down this product in the blind community. As I see this show, yes, as a podcast, but also as a product, if you will. That being said, those listeners with a keen ear might have noticed the absence of the voiceover in the intro, and that is one of the small little revisions. And I've decided that originally I was going to come up with an entire new intro, new music, but really what I wanted to do, since I already started the show with a whole welcome to Blind Level Tech and all that, I kind of realized that the whole voiceover thing is redundant. And there are also just some other reasons that I will not be going into as to why I wanted to change that. But I really, honestly, am kind of attached to this music. I like it. It's catchy, and it really at least gets me kind of pumped up for the show. And I feel like it's thematic for BLT. You know, you hear that 4 muted guitar thing, and if you've listened to BLT enough, you kind of realize, oh, that's Blind Level Tech. I think it would be cool to have some sort of technology sounds in there. I've wanted to, for the longest time, have like a Braille and speak or something, but at the same time, I don't know, that might be a little bit too gimmicky or corny or whatever. So we're going to keep the music the same and retire the whole voiceover at the beginning. But I'm also hoping to come up with a good tagline for BLT, something about covering mainstream and assistive technology in a fun way. And this is where I'd like to actually hear everybody's thoughts. In fact, for anything that I talk about today regarding BLT, I really would encourage anybody out there listening, if there's a change or an addition or something that just maybe annoys you or something that you'd like me to do differently on this show, the worst thing you could do is not tell me at all. So if you'd like, you may leave your feedback, suggestions, thoughts, and comments. You can do that through our feedback channels at feedback@aftersight.org or 720-712-8856. I've said that so many times now that it is absolutely like in muscle memory. But also, I thought I'd do something a little experimental, I guess. And hopefully I'm not going to regret saying this down the road. But I think it'd be cool if you want to get in touch with me more directly. Everybody out there is welcome to email me directly at evan@aftersight.org. And you can share your thoughts with me or suggestions that way. But I would also encourage you to CC feedback@aftersight.org just so that we get that feedback in the appropriate places as well. So just to quickly summarize, no real big changes with BLT, rather maximizing what we already have and just continuing to have fun and report on technology, both mainstream and assistive, and have fun guests that can talk about companies that they work with, or technological experiences that they've had, or new innovations that they're working on in their own personal lives, all that good stuff. And I definitely am hoping to cover events like CSUN this year. 2026 at Aftersight has already like fully kicked off, and we are ridiculously busy because we're also doing an entire transition for our volunteer readers to an entirely new recording platform, and it's actually, spoiler alert, Riverside, which I'm recording this episode on now. But we're really modernizing the way that volunteers read and record written content. So we are just mega swamped. So I'm hoping that that will not affect the quality of BLT, and I will do my best to ensure that doesn't happen. So besides all these little updates and things like that, we've also got some tech news that I'd like to report on. And in case you guys are curious, I of course will be keeping the end of month tech news and updates episodes in, and I will be continuing to do those on the last Wednesday of every month. I have been struggling to come up with a name for this particular episode, so I would appreciate anybody's suggestions if you have them. Otherwise, I'll keep brainstorming, and whenever I come up with one, you'll know about it. And it would be kind of fun to also have a little jingle for it as well. But in any event, let's address one potential elephant in the room for some regarding tech news, and that is the recent CES conference. And to be honest, I was going to do an episode on CES, but, well, I did not attend the conference. But that being said, the Double Tap podcast has a fantastic episode, in fact, a couple of episodes on CES. So if you're curious about the new innovations and things that came out of that particular conference, and you want to hear it in a fun, upbeat, and informative way, go check out Double Tap. It is one of my personal favorite assistive technology podcasts. Sean and Steven have been killing it for a long time now. I think it would be really cool personally to have them on BLT, but you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. So there won't really be a dedicated CES episode this year. That being said, I'm sure I'll probably mention CES a little bit on future episodes. We will get into tech news here in a second, but first, I wanted to highlight my recent experience taking Amtrak to Illinois and back, as it was a surprisingly positive experience that I wanted to share with anybody in case you're curious, and if you've maybe wanted to take the train or you haven't taken it in a long time. There's a lot of really cool little accessibility features both around and on the trains, and I felt this definitely warranted some BLT coverage. I guess starting out with the most negative experience or aspect of traveling with Amtrak, and that is unfortunately their app. I had a little bit of a tough time getting tickets, And honestly, I had to use screen recognition a lot, and I had to continue to restart the app because it would just get to a point where the screen would still be there, but VoiceOver would just effectively see either the first heading of what you were on, if that was, whether that be if you're filling out a section for a service animal or an accessible seat or whatever it might be. There was just some spots where the screen, to my eye, as a VoiceOver user, would go completely blank. And screen recognition could do some damage, but it just made it a lot harder to get tickets. And of course, usually when I run into an experience like that on the phone, my immediate solution is to try it on the computer, as I found that that usually fixes the issue, or at least just makes the form a little less tedious to fill out. Unfortunately, though, going to Amtrak's website and not even signing in yet, I was greeted by graphic, 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 link, 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 button, button, button. And I immediately closed the tab because the website is just full of unlabeled links and buttons and things. And I really hope that Amtrak can work on improving accessibility for their website. But unfortunately, I had to go back and trudge my way through the mobile app. But after that, the experience was incredibly positive. Starting with the trip to Illinois, we ended up going coach on the way to Illinois, and kind of realized that maybe that's not the best idea for an 18-hour trip. The seats were very comfortable. They had two different footrests. They leaned all the way back, and you had two different outlets below the window of the train so you could charge your devices. You had a dedicated call button and lights, and the buttons did have Braille on them. But at least going there, I had to deal with some sadly typical experiences that a lot of people deal with on trains. Some guy watching YouTube videos at almost full volume so that everybody on the train could hear it, and just some other annoyingly unpleasant experiences. And so we actually decided, and this is honestly something that I'd recommend to anybody looking into Amtrak, I think any trip that's longer than 10 hours, it really is worth the upgrade to the sleeper car. Otherwise, you can get away with coach and you'll be all right. Besides that, I was very surprised to notice Braille all over the train. I mean, everywhere I looked, there was Braille. And there was Braille in the bathroom, on the call and flush toilet buttons. I mean, Braille by the exit doors. They had Braille seat numbers. So everything, it seemed that everything that was in print had also been labeled correctly. And going back, we ended up, well, my girlfriend very much surprised me with a trip in a sleeper car. And this was a huge, totally worthwhile upgrade. And it is significantly more expensive than going coach, but you have a private room. You have a dedicated attendant that can get you food and answer questions and just ensure that you are as comfortable as possible. And of course, in the room, there's also Braille everywhere, even on things like the closet. It just said closet in Braille and tactile print. The one complaint, though, that I had with the room, or I guess two complaints that I had with the room. The first one is, we got a family room. And they only give you one electrical outlet to charge your devices. And if you're one or two people, that's fine. But if you're a family, and especially if you've got older kids with their devices and stuff, you're going to have a hard time charging everybody's devices. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of competition for the chargers. But the only other little issue, and honestly, I'm not sure why they did it this way, but the room obviously has controls for lights and a call button, but those buttons in this case were all touch sensitive, and they did not have Braille on them either. And they are right below the electrical outlet in the room, kind of by the entrance, actually. And they were recessed into the wall, and you had buttons to turn on reading lights, overhead lights. The call button was this oval-shaped thing, and when the attendant was showing us the room the first time, I think I accidentally hit it like three times in a row, and he laughed. He thought it was funny. But if it's late at night and you're trying to leave the room, look for your cane, and you accidentally hit that button, the whole train's going to make a beep and everybody's going to hear it, even during quiet hours. So if you get a room, just know that that might be something you have to be careful with. Another really cool, and honestly, this is one of those why in the world didn't I have a recorder on me situations, though, was when we got to Illinois, we needed to take one of the metro trains to where my girlfriend's family was. And I was really impressed when I was walking through the station and I began to hear numbers being spoken aloud. And I realized that at least the Chicago Union Station that we were at uses voice announcements by every single track, so you can hear what track number you're by. I didn't see if they had Braille by the track numbers, but honestly, I found this to be a lot easier than trying to shoreline and find the Braille and then reach over and then continue walking. And then the way they did it was super cool because you could hear directionally where each track was. And they did it in such a way that it wasn't, that every track wasn't going off at the same time. So you would hear 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And you could hear those go from left to right. And it was so cool, at least in my opinion. I'm not sure how common that is, but if I'm in Illinois in the future, or if I happen to stop somewhere that has that particular feature, I will sure record it so that you all can experience it for yourselves. So that's the Amtrak experience, I guess, in a nutshell. Like I said, apart from the app, the train itself was amazing. I'm gonna take it over flying, honestly, because I just find it a lot more relaxing. Yes, it takes a lot longer to get from point A to point B, but the food on the train was absolutely fantastic, I think. But a train, for crying out loud. I liked that I could go to the snack bar and, you know, get anything from drinks to junk food. And the seats were pretty comfortable. The beds in the sleeper car were even more comfortable. And it was nice and quiet. And I would recommend it to anybody if you're traveling over state lines, and especially if you have the option to go direct from point A to point B with no connecting trains, or at least maybe one connecting train. If you have to take like three or four different trains to get from point A to B, it might be more worthwhile flying. Let's jump into some tech news real quick, starting first with Meta. And I received an email actually notifying me of quite a few new features that are now available on Ray-Ban and Oakley Vanguard glasses as of December 16th. First, they finally added a Find My Glasses or Find Device feature to the Meta AI app. And this allows you to see the location on a map of where your glasses were last connected. Unfortunately, I have not been able to test it for accessibility because this feature requires location access to be always allowed for Meta View or Meta AI. I simply just personally am not comfortable allowing Meta to get full continuous location access. I'm not saying that they'll use it all the time, but it wasn't something I was comfortable doing. So I unfortunately didn't get to test that out, but it's not necessarily like Find My iPhone or Find My Device where you can hear a sound to find your Meta glasses. I think that would be really cool if they were to add that. But at least, you know, you'll get a gist of where you last were when you had your glasses. I'm not sure, though, if the map is accessible. So if somebody out there with Meta glasses tries this feature out, and if it is accessible or not, I would definitely like to know. I will spotlight your response, if you like, in a future episode. If you do any sort of photography or videography or whatever it might be, if you like to do vlogs, you're going to love these next new features, as they've added a hyperlapse mode, slow motion video, as well as the ability to adjust stabilization. So hyperlapse, I'm not entirely sure if it includes audio So I will be testing that, but it allows you for up to 30 minutes to record like a sped up lapse of anything. I mean, it could be a hike that you're going on or a museum trip or just maybe you walking around doing everyday stuff around the house. But it's kind of like the time lapse feature in iOS where you can just record little snippets of video and it will splice them together and speed them up and make it into one continuous take. But like I said, I'll test that feature to see if audio is present, because usually, and the sad part about time lapses is that they're typically silent. So we'll see how good that feature is. And yes, you can finally record slow motion video on your Meta glasses. And again, it is something I'm curious to see how the audio quality is, but this sounds pretty cool, especially because a lot of people use their Meta glasses like an action camera, like a GoPro. I myself have done that. So I think it'd be kind of fun to have like maybe a slow-mo of me on a roller coaster or whatever's fun to record in slow-mo. And of course, like I've hinted, if you are on a particularly bumpy terrain or, you know, you're just recording in a situation where you're moving around up and down a lot, you have the option now to adjust the video stabilization to help your videos not be as shaky and jittery. And lastly, regarding video and photography, if your videos are less than 15 seconds, you now have the option to directly share them to Instagram and your Facebook stories. Just say, "Hey, META, share that last video to Facebook or send it to Instagram." And you've been able to do that before, but this is a little bit more direct, as far as it will directly just post the video on your feed. If you have the Oakley Meta or the Oakley Vanguard glasses, then you now have the option of getting real-time insights and updates and also video capture of your workouts if you link your Meta account to either Apple Health, Google Health, Garmin, or one called Strava, which I somehow have not heard of. And it will give you real-time insights based on your performance and allow you to share clips and insights to Facebook, Instagram, or Strava. If you have a Garmin device, be it one of their smartwatches or fitness tracking devices, you have now the option to create a custom workout and send it over to your Garmin device. For instance, you could say something like, "Hey, META, I'm going on a 2-mile workouts for half an hour," and it will adjust that workout accordingly and give you appropriate coaching and time updates. That being said, don't know how accessible Garmin devices are, as at least the watches that I've seen from them in the past don't include a speaker. So this could be something that, you know, if you're able to use one of their watches, then this could be a really neat feature, but it's something I did want to at least talk about. But it's interesting that it's only on the Garmin devices. I'm not sure if they've got a partnership or whatnot. Another feature, unfortunately exclusive to the Oakley Vanguards, is vocal shortcuts. And this allows you to create simple little shortcuts that you can say to the glasses without using the "Hey, META, wake word." So you could probably use something like, oh, I don't know, "Lights, camera, action," or something to take a video, and it will just start recording. You, of course, can turn this feature on and off as you see fit, but it's a cool little feature, kind of similar to the vocal shortcuts feature that was introduced in iOS recently. The last Meta-related thing that I'd like to talk about is something that I'm going to probably spend hours messing with, and that is the command "Play a song to go with my view." This only works if you have Spotify Premium, but essentially what you can do is, if you're in a particular scene, let's say maybe you're looking at a nice mountain scene or whatever it might be, you can say, "Play a song to go with my view," and it will try to play a particular piece of music that fits what the glasses are seeing. So presumably, if it sees mountains, I don't know, it might play some mountain-related song or something really calm and chill, maybe some John Denver to give a specific example. But I'm curious as far as how many things or how I can stump this AI, because I don't know what would it play if I looked in my fridge and told it to play a song based on the view. I mean, there is a ton of opportunity for experimentation. So if anybody out there has Spotify and owns Meta Glasses, give this command a try. You might be pretty fun, and I'm going to try it honestly after I record this episode when I get home. You can finally control your music in languages including French, German, Italian, Spanish, and Portuguese. So previously, you could only control your music in English, but now you have that option if you speak any of those languages. Unfortunately, the play a song based on my view command only works in English at this time. In other news, Southwest Airlines has also integrated with Apple Wallet, and that allows you to not only add your tickets directly to Apple Wallet, but directly from Apple Wallet, you can see things like real-time flight tracking, luggage tracking, and even airport maps. And I would be curious to know how accessible those are, because for airports, especially like here in Colorado, Denver International Airport, I always just go with Sighted Assistance because I find it, because DIA is massive. And often when I get to the airport, it's just easier to get that assistance as opposed to trying to spend time finding everything and walking almost, you know, over a mile to get to the terminals. Like, I'd be curious to, I'm hoping those maps are accessible, and it will be something when I'm presented with the opportunity, I for sure will test. Well, I guess that's it as far as big tech news is concerned. You know, there was a lot of little mini stories, but I just wanted to highlight some of the, at least what I felt was notable stories that will benefit the blind and low vision community. But before we end this episode, I've actually got a sandwich of the week. So this isn't exactly a sandwich, rather it's a hot dog, but I wanted to highlight it because I've never had jardinera sauce before, and it's like a spicy kind of relish. I'm not sure exactly what it's made of, but my sandwich this week is a Chicago-style hot dog with jardinera sauce on it, because it's spicy, savory, and crunchy, and really good. If you haven't tried jardinera sauce and you can get your hands on some, I would highly recommend it. Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to this week's episode of Blind Level Tech. I know there was a lot that I kind of glossed over, or I'm sure there's some stories that you might have seen that I didn't cover. But like I said, I really just intended for this episode to be kind of a more warm welcome back. And here's a little bit of tech news. Here's what I'm doing with the show. And here's why what happened ended up happening with BLT. But as always, if you have feedback, questions, or suggestions for future shows, please send it to myself, evan@aftersight.org, or you can send it to feedback@aftersight.org, or if you'd like to leave it in a voicemail, you can do that by calling 720-712-8856. Now, as far as what I'm excited for in terms of technology this year, well, I'm definitely interested to see where good old AI goes as far as web accessibility and just access in general. Waymo is coming to downtown Denver this year, so that's going to be pretty interesting. And we've got, you know, all the fun tech shows like CSUN and NFB and ACBCon and all those. So there's going to be a lot of fun things to report on this year, and hopefully some new and exciting guests as well. I'm pretty optimistic and excited, and I hope that you all are as well. With that being said, I'd really like to thank everybody for listening to another episode of Blind Level Tech. I've been your host, Evan Starnes, and I will talk to you all again next Wednesday.